Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Ready to relax in your dream bath retreat without the stress of figuring out every detail yourself? At the Home Depot, your bath upgrade is covered. Shop fully designed rooms and curated bath collections to go from inspiration to transformation fast. Savings of up to 40% will make it easier on your budget. And find everything you need, from tubs to toilets and all the tile in between, to bring your vision to life. The Home Depot. Dream baths built here.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. Nate and Micah hosting tonight. We got our good buddies, Dustin Williams and Jason Patterson, here with us. How we doing tonight, fellas?
What's up, boys?
Good to be back.
Yep. That's good.
Doing good.
Yeah, we're here at Andy's shop, which is weird because Andy's out of town.
Andy's in Florida. We took over.
Move your mic closer to your mouth.
So,
right there, yep.
Thank you, Andy, for
opening
up your spot. I like recording here, though.
I do, too.
It's good podcasting vibes.
It is. Yeah. I do, too. The sign is cool.
Yeah.
It's a pretty nice buck over there on the wall, too.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to bring some more bucks in here.
Yeah.
He's only got the 2 in here. And I don't remember the story behind that one. I don't think he likes to mount or something the way he did.
That was the one that you helped him track?
Yeah. Was that this year's? Last year's?
No. I don't remember. No, that one's...
Or was that the one I helped him track with his mom and dad?
Yeah, and his mom was like,
it's just right there.
Yeah,
why'd
you need us all here? Yeah, something along those lines. Yeah. I don't know.
But, yes, we are here. Jason and Dustin with Whitetail Properties. The topic today is going to be, well, we kind of talked about it already. Jason, kind of give us the 30,000-foot view of the general idea of our topic.
Yeah, you bet. Well, last time we were on, we kind of talked a little bit about the buying experience and spent some time on the buyer's perspective. So Dustin and I have been talking about some common themes that we wish sellers knew about selling land and things that landowners knew about adding value to their property. Is that a good way to summarize it?
Yeah, I think so.
Get rid of the dead bodies.
Yeah. Hide your skeletons.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, but that's what we're going to talk about today. And this is going to tie into the show after this one. Now, this is coming out on Tuesday, August, whatever it is, 5th.
Yeah.
I don't know if there'll be a show the next week. I'm out of town. Andy's just getting back into town, and we still have some scheduling. But the show the week after is going to be tied to more on the financing side of it and how people can actually go from this part to that part and tie them all together. And that'll be with, we believe, SCS Financial, which is where Andy used to work. And anyway, so that's the idea. We're going to do kind of a two-part series with these shows today. And I think it's going to be helpful. We've talked about it before. I've always been reluctant, you know, for certain. It seems like everything I like is something wrong with it, though. So, you know, so I think there's a lot of people out there that are that way, too.
Sure.
Just a touch reluctant at times. So, yeah, that's what we're going to do today. It's going to be fun. We're going to do partners.
Sure.
Okay. I like the idea of talking to these guys about that stuff. I think we did it last time you guys were on, too.
Andy, you got ants.
He does. I saw one earlier. One's on my leg right now. I can feel it. We're going to start with Habitat Works. So Habitat Works is Dustin's baby. We talk about him every time. He's probably got a big-ass head because we talk about how smart he is.
He is smart. I was picking his brain earlier.
You did.
Yeah.
I figured you did.
2-4 DB, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Jason actually spit it out.
Yeah.
He's more of a food plot guy than I am.
Are you? So, yeah. Yeah, you're more of the natural. I get it.
Yeah, work with what's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it.
I try all the time. And so, yeah, Dustin, wealth of knowledge, especially when it comes to plans. I was watching that guy you made me watch the other day.
Yeah. Smart, right?
What was that called?
Whitetail Research.
Whitetail Research.
Have y'all seen his videos on YouTube?
I think
with the drone? Smart, yep. That's stuff I want to see.
That's intriguing, yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
In his video, he's putting all these, like, travel patterns and where he puts stands in this. I'm like, him and Dustin would freaking just nerd out on this.
Right.
And at the same time, I'm like, wow. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what to do with this information.
Yeah. So Dustin's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to that. So give him a call, 816-752-7390, habitatworksllc@gmail.com. Are we still doing the 15% thing?
Yeah, that'll work.
That's fine.
Because I've been saying it. You don't have to.
Yeah.
Mention us when you call. Dustin will give you something.
Yeah.
He'll help you out.
Yeah, I could drop in there, too. I got a website that's pretty legit now. And
nice.
People can go there and see stuff. And
Habitat Works.
LLC.com.
.com.
Yeah.
Habitat Works, LLC.com. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah.
And actually, we're going to add this to that, too. So check them out. Whitetail Properties, Jason Patterson Land Team. If you didn't know, by the way, they have a YouTube channel.
Didn't know that.
Did you know?
I knew. I knew.
Jason Patterson.
Oh, you have your own specific.
Jason Patterson Land Team, Whitetail Properties.
Specialize in all the properties you got, I'm assuming.
They do virtual tours, or I guess you call them virtual tours with drones and stuff like that, but he'll tell you more.
Yeah, property tours. Yeah, well, it started out just a place to host my listing videos and just kind of have a collection of them, but I borrow a lot of Dustin's expertise, and we've done some habitat videos, and we do property tour videos too. So, you know, once a listing has been out for a few weeks, a lot of times we go there and spend a lot of time and really get in depth, and it's a tour. It's meant to be. So
when you go and watch our show on YouTube, I always tag Jason on his weeks. And so if you can't find his YouTube channel, which is not hard to do, Jason Patterson Land Team, you'll find it. Or just go to our videos and it'll be tagged right there. Or give Jason a call, by the way, 816-824-6282. Or Dustin, one of the two. They're the same fellers. And give him a call. Let's go with our newest partner, Huxworks.
Huxworks. I've still yet to shoot my new Huxworks.
It's in the box.
I should have went today, man. This weather is blowing my mind. It's amazing outside.
Need to be
shooting guns and shooting bows right now.
Mm-hmm. Jason, do you know what a Huxworks is and what we're talking about?
Yeah, I need to join the suppressor.
Okay. Oh, you're not?
Game. No, I'm not. I'm not. You not suppressed.
Yeah. Well, don't ask to go coyote hunting until you do.
He's not wrong.
I heard you guys say that. Yeah.
Yeah, we're snobs now. We're like, we put our pinkies up when we shoot, And yeah, definitely.
Luckily now we got some backup guns, so you could definitely just use one of our rigs. Yeah. But yeah, it's a big fan of the suppressors. So, and they made it cheaper now, so you don't have to pay the $200 tax stamp, so that's nice.
Still got to go through the stupid ass process. But sure. You don't have to pay the $200, $205 to be exact.
Right.
But yeah, so check out HuxWorks' awesome lineup of flow through technology, which if you ever have questions, we can tell you about the differences between flow through and baffles. And
yeah.
I heard you guys touch on that the other day, but I have I generally get the gist, but I really have no idea.
So we're going to do a show with our HuxWorks engineer, Ted, at some point. But basically, if you like, my girly Stanley Cup, that's my daughter's. Thanks, honey. If this were the suppressor, flow-through technology, there's vents on the end of the suppressor. Mm-hmm. And so it allows the gas to slowly go through the suppressor and escape forward, which is the same direction, coincidentally, that the bullet is going, mm-hmm. or the projectile. So that's a good thing. Now, they tend to be a touch louder a lot because the sound is coming out, the pressure.
Yeah.
The everything we had before this was what's called baffle style. So there's just basically a bunch of chambers and baffles inside of it, mm-hmm. and the gas is trapped in the suppressor.
So a lot more comes back through.
And so you'll get gas coming back through, like on gas guns, like ARs. That's why you have to have adjustable gas blocks, because the gas is coming backwards a lot. Some gotcha. Of it is coming back. Both really good, but still. We'll do a show with him, and then you'll understand more when he explains it. That's about all I know right there. Athlon Optics, speaking of guns,
yeah.
Put an Athlon Optic on top of it. My brother-in-law actually just stopped me today and said, hey, I'm looking for a cheap
scope.
I was getting my oil changed, and he stopped to get the gas, and I'm like, well, what do you want? And he's like, I don't know, something for like $80. I'm like, you should really look out. The Athlon, what is the one that's the cheaper one?
Talos?
The Talos?
I believe so.
If you're going to spend a small amount of money, get one of those and they have a warranty.
Right.
Don't go buy something from Amazon Walmart that's going to break just as quickly, potentially. And actually, they're cheaper. Isn't it Austin that uses the cheaper?
Yeah, Austin's a big fan of those.
The cheaper ones?
Yeah.
Is it the H? Starts with an H, the Athlon.
There's the Argos, Talos.
The Talos, and then the...
I can't remember.
Anyway,
they got quite a few.
I suck at names. Anyway, check out Athlon Optics, MidwestGunWorks.com, all the different gun parts, gun needs. Give them a call. Check them out at MidwestGunWorks.com. Lucky Buck, I went and dumped finally twice yesterday.
I dumped today.
Changed some batteries around.
Yep. Same.
So, I already got deer on it. One of the places I haven't put it out yet, the place we were just talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And take that back. I put it out. The camera lasted for about a week, and I think the battery's bad. Mm. And so I just went and switched out the battery, so I really didn't know what was there. And already getting Mama and a Fawn was on there. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I saw it.
So it was cool. On X, MWW20, 20% off. Should we just announce it so that we have to do it?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. We're throwing a party.
Yeah.
Yeah. So be sure to save the date strippers, whenever we give you.
All kinds of stuff.
No. Yeah. No,
oh, wait,
but.
No? Okay.
I just uninvited myself.
And I'm just kidding. It's going to be coyote themed, coyote related. That's all we know right now.
It's going to be put on through Onyx.
Onyx is going to be helping us the party. So
not sure on all the details yet. We haven't put a date on it. I'm guessing probably going to be in October sometime.
What?
September?
September's
I don't know.
September's better than October.
September, I know, December. I agree.
Isn't it like a kickoff party for coyote season?
Sure.
So can't we do it in the wintertime? Like,
I guess.
December?
I don't know.
I'm going to be hunting is all I'm saying.
No, I get it. You throw the party at night when everybody's done.
That's a good point.
We'll figure it out later. Yeah. Onyx.
But Onyx, check them out. Use that code. Black Ovis, user code MWW10. Speaking of coyotes.
Still
the doing. T-shirt
yeah,
is
doing
in design processes.
Collab.
So that'll be cool. And check out Black Ovis, all their cool gear I'm wearing. I'm not wearing their shorts right now, but you are.
Yeah.
And
best shorts out there.
They are pretty awesome shorts. I'm telling you, that felt lining or the merino wool lining of the shorts is maybe the best thing about them. Because I'm a sweater.
Sounds like I need to get some.
You do.
Oh, they're sweet, man.
Let me take care of you.
They're nice.
And then Camo Fire, check out the rotating door deals on the app. Reveal cameras by TACCAM, our last one.
Got pitchers flowing, man.
Yep, going good. The new Ultra is pretty awesome. I kind of forgot it was camo when I went to switch the battery. I'm like, what the? Oh, wait, that's my camera.
Yeah.
That's the first camera that is like a camo pattern.
Right. Yeah, we were talking about it earlier, though, before you got here, but it seems like Bucks have kind of like slowed down their movement.
I think the heat.
That's what we kind of, we were thinking about the heat.
Yep.
If I were a buck, I would stay around food and water right now, and that's it. And I would move to the food and water and then back to where I feel like going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't move much. I would think these next 2 days.
They should move this week.
They should move. It's going to get warm again, I think, but it's not 110 degree heat index, that's for sure. Yep. I think it was like 74 degrees today.
Yep.
It was nice.
It's freaking a warm hug when you walked outside.
Yeah.
I remember thinking I was excited last Sunday. My daughter's team had to play an 8 o'clock softball game in the morning. Mm. And I was like, well, at least it won't be hotter than death.
Yeah.
It was like 85 degrees.
Right.
By the time her game started already at 8 in the morning. It was horrible.
That's no fun.
So I'm happy to have this. Okay. There's the sponsors. Thanks to all of them. Thanks to you two. Let's talk about what we're going to talk about today.
Can I bounce back to OnX real quick?
Cause yes, you can.
Dustin saved my tail today. We did a property tour on a property that's closing. It's actually closing next week. But we did a property tour, I don't know, a month or so ago. And when I was setting up trail cameras, Dustin was like, hey, did you drop a waypoint? And I didn't. And we were texting about something else today. And I told him, I was like, yeah, I've been wandering around the woods. I'd been there for, I didn't tell him. It'd been about an hour. Yeah. And I couldn't find this camera. and then I finally gave up and left. And he'd saved a waypoint for it. And I walked right back and walked right to it. So,
yeah.
Dude, OnX. OnX testimony
on all
right there. Yeah. OnX. And if you're, I don't know what camera you're running, but Tacticam, they got the GPS feature too, which is nice. So.
Yeah, on the new Ultras.
Yeah.
And then also, Andy uses it for his seed markers.
Yeah, so he marks.
When he goes out and marks his seed.
Yeah, OnX.
With his signs, you know, the signs you see.
Yep.
He'll mark them on OnX so he knows where to go get them.
Yeah.
Pretty smart, I'd say. Yeah. Because I would forget where they're at.
The waypoint was good, too. In my mind, I remembered where it was. I could have walked right back to it, but the description that I gave was a little bit off.
Remember that big red oak and next to the
white oak.
Two white oaks. You remember that real gorgeous white oak, but that kind of fugly white oak right next to it? Yeah. And then Jason's like, what the fuck are you talking about? You tree-hugging bastard. that's how Dustin remembers, right?
Yep.
That really gorgeous one with that one branch that is like a flowing river.
Yeah, he was putting the camera up, and I like wandered over and just stood there.
Speaking of white oaks, so remember when we walked my property and that white oak was there in the food plot?
I think so.
It's finally producing this year.
Oh,
so
is it?
I'm excited about that.
Oh, the little one that we put a stand in?
We put a stand in the first 2 years, but it stands out of it now.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it's producing white oaks.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So I'm excited about that.
The tree was like, the oak at that time was like that big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, did you kill the ones around it?
It's pretty cleared out right now.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. No, it's kind of, I mean, it's in the middle of the food plot off to the side sort of thing.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's nothing too close.
That's cool. That's good.
Yeah.
Good point on the OnX. Thanks for the plug there, guys. Yeah. Okay, so the basics of this show is just going to be the, you know, things you wish sellers or buyers knew, to be honest with you. So who do you want to start with? You want to start with sellers? Or the buyers?
Well, last time we were here, we spent some time on buyers, and we probably have a more robust list of things we wish landowners knew.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's what I kind of meant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or sell. I mean,
I guess it could go with either way if you're buying or selling. What should a landowner know?
Yeah. Well, and
that fly's pissing me off.
there's a mindset too that probably might help tee this up. You know, like I just bought a property this January, and I don't plan to ever sell it. But it will change hands someday. So even if you have a property you're not planning to sell, it will sell. It will change hands someday. So even if you're not a seller in the moment, a lot of these things apply to just land ownership in general and adding value to your property, keeping value on your property, and
being able to enjoy it the right way. And mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. All these things, they tie back to enjoying the property. And things you would do to help a buyer are going to help you while you own the place too.
Right.
So
yeah. And it's, I mean, especially if you don't know what you're doing, which is kind of tying back to what you do. We looked at a house last week. We never went and looked at it, but a house went for sale last week, which is literally 5 minutes from where I live now, but it's on blacktop. And right behind the house is 10 acres of timber. And it's like a 9.5 acre property and almost all of it's timber. I'm like, I could hunt where I live. It's near the U Highway Farm. It's okay. On the way to it. Remember that corner house that used to have the
German Shepherd? I know exactly which, it's that house. I looked at it.
Okay. So I'm like, I don't know how good the hunting would be, but I think there would be hunting.
Right.
And I'm like, first thing I do is have Dustin put together a plan on what I need to do.
You could have bought that other 9 acres,
the other nine, which they want a lot per acre for. Yeah. Like 16.5 per acre.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. Okay. So it was like just kind of thinking about the future before you buy it, I guess, which would be a buyer's, something they wish they knew. But I think a lot of people sometimes just rush into something because it's for sale and they're like, let's just do it. Kind of like the property I almost bought. I didn't almost buy it. I was really close to potentially going to the bank and trying to figure out what was going on.
Seeing what the next step was.
But then, because when I walked it, I think I called you when it was raining.
Yeah, you were
so. This place is cool, dude.
It started pouring, yeah.
Yeah, it started pouring. I was on the creek, on the river bank, and just thinking about my boys, crossing the river up into the woods or creek. But then it just hit me. I'm like, everything here is in a flood zone. So, anyway. Yeah.
That's probably a great place to start. Not to cut you off.
Nope,
but,
you didn't.
I think, selling a property is going to start with buying it and getting the right kind of help before you even buy the property is probably a great first step. And then that segues right into the planning. Like when, before we closed on our property, I had Dustin out with one of my best hunting buddies and we walked the place and it was late winter. So we diagnosed how our deer are using this place right now. And, with Dustin's expertise on topography, we went right to where the bedding area should be. And sure enough, they were. And then from there, just start working on the plan. A lot of guys or a lot of landowners, you get excited, just bought a place and, go start going with the dozer or the tiller or install a food plot or put up a blind or something like that. And then, if you make a mistake on day one, you might be sorting that out the rest of your ownership. So I think probably the first step is make sure you have somebody helping you buy the place that understands what you're doing, understands how that fits the property. And
not that this is, we're talking to you two guys this entire show, so this is basically a plug. But that's where you guys are so invaluable, is because in that particular, so I looked at a property a couple months ago. I called Dustin. Well, actually, I called the listing agent, got some information, and guess what wasn't mentioned to me? Any of that stuff, right?
The floodplain.
Now, remember that just Jason and Dustin are both going to... I'm going to start calling you Justin at some point. You watch.
My mom does. My brother's Justin.
Okay. Justin. They are also seller's agents in this case, too. So, this could go against them at some times. But having someone on your side that represents your best interest is really important. Because immediately when I thought I was potentially interested, I think I texted both of you, and then you took over. And we just kind of talked to you about it, and then you got permission for me to go and at least check it out by myself because it's a while from where you live. And I walked it, was really loving it, and then you got some documentation for me, sent it to me, and you're like, dude, this is in a floodplain. And I'm like, okay, how much? No big deal. Because the idea would have been to build a house and still enjoy the land. But the only spot I could have put a house was on like maybe 1 acre. In the very, southwest corner?
Mm-hmm. Up by the road.
Right on the road.
And there's a barn and some old structures and things there.
Yeah, so it was
there,
like, I can't just buy the property to play with, And so not having Dustin in my corner at that time could have sunk me because I could have been so gung-ho, tried to, go get financing and then just bought it and then realized what I did. And so... that's why having your education up front and having people in your corner that know about land when it comes to buying recreational land or a farm, to me, is huge. And that's why I like you guys being together now, is obviously you've learned a lot about the real estate side and you've learned a lot about that, the habitat side. And so you both have become that much more, powerful when it comes to that sort of stuff. So, like I said, I mean, if I lived anywhere, I'd be calling one of these two fellas at any time, which I don't know if you can actually help anybody anywhere, but still.
To an extent.
To an extent you can, right? Yeah. And yeah. So.
If you don't know who to call one of us. We'll yeah. get in. If we're not the one to help you, we'll get you rolling.
And yep. call us, and we'll get you a hold of them. I mean, we put their phone numbers out every damn week, but we still get questions all the time. Who's that guy that does this? And I'll give it to you. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, that's part number one is just having someone to represent yourself. It's not exactly what you said. I realize that. But just you need to be represented. And remember that not every seller out there or not every agent is there for you. They're there for other people and potentially themselves. That's why you have to have a good agent who is, number one, educated, and number two, has morals. Because yeah. you've seen them before where it's just, hey, I'm just trying to make money. I don't care what I sell, where I sell it. I don't see it as much in this world, but you definitely see it in the housing world.
Right.
Definitely. Yep. Anyway, does that cover number one?
Probably one and two because, I yes. mean, you had somebody who understood what you wanted to do with the property and helped you measure was that a fit, and it wasn't, so you moved on.
Right.
And then, like I was saying too, you know, with that 80, I think selecting the right property and getting help to make sure you make that decision, that is absolutely the first step. And mm-hmm. I think the next step is something he's focusing on in his habitat business too, is what's the plan?
Right. Yeah. What's the plan moving forward? And does it match not only your needs, but your wife's needs, your family's needs? And is there longevity there? And is there potential, say the situation changes, to capitalize in the future? Either with a yeah. sustainable log harvest, or can you farm, or switch to CRP? You know, how much diversity is available?
What might it cost me?
Right.
I mean, if you know, I'm just throwing something out, but you're 80, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't know anything about habitat management in this scenario. So you have a guy like him come out and say, "Hey, what would you do in this case? Do this, this, and this." Well, ballpark, what do you think that would run me? Let's say I do all the work myself, but I need to rent all the equipment or borrow it. You know, what do you think somewhere that would cost me? He can give you a decent idea. Mm-hmm. Okay, if I'm going to have you do this, this, and this, if I did it all for you, it'd probably be about this much. If you did it yourself, still going to cost you X, Y, Z. Because that could go into potentially whether you think you can afford it or not. Mm-hmm. If you found a great deal on your 80 acres, but it was going to cost you almost that same amount to get it to where you wanted,
yeah,
that's a thought that you have to, or it might take you 20 years to get it to where you wanted.
Yeah, that's, I guess it's just your long-term goal,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
what you want to do there.
Because, you know, if it took me 20 years, I might not be hunting much longer after that by the time I'm done, so it'd be more for the next generation,
mm-hmm.
you know, that sort of stuff. So
that, or whether trying to build it up and then turn that into a different farm,
right?
You know,
yep. That's a good point.
Yeah, and that goes back to, too, you know, we deal with a lot of clients, especially in recreational land, who are trading up. They bought a 40, and now they're buying an 80. They bought an 80, and now they're buying a 160. And so that goes back to, too, what I was saying earlier. You know, when you buy a property, you may not plan on ever selling it, but you might someday. So that's, you know, I think that's kind of what got us thinking on this thread of things that we wish sellers thought about and how they manage their property and what they do with it. And by the way, we're talking about some of the habitat improvements. Dustin's a wealth of knowledge on how to pay for those things too, because, you know, Missouri Department of Conservation might good help point. You. A logger might help you.
I'm programs kind
of stealing
out there.
Your thunder there, but
yeah.
No, yeah, you're doing a good job of stealing it. there's not a whole lot else to say, but yeah, just getting in touch with the right. You know, a lot of people don't know, where do I even go to get this information or get this assistance? And, you know, you get both sides of the coin where they do want some help. They don't want the government to lay a single finger on their property. And there's options both directions. But finding them can be a challenge in itself. So.
Right.
Oh, definitely. And sometimes Google doesn't help you much. Yeah. It almost makes you more confused.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially now AI tries to answer the damn question. I'm like, I wasn't talking about that.
Yeah.
Still pretty close most of the time, kind of freaky.
Yeah, oh no, that stuff's scary.
Yeah. We kind of accidentally wandered into a couple of things that fit under that banner too of you know, as a landowner thinking about being a seller someday, you know, logging is part of that. Like I have a logger on my property right now. I mean, he was there today. And I bought that place for recreation. I bought it because I love it, and I bought it because it's beautiful. But taking timber off is going to give me, you know, cash to do other improvements on the property. We're actually going to put it towards the build site we're working on. But it's also going to make habitat better with his help and planning. So we're going to open up some areas that are going to become food. We're going to create some clutter that's becoming bedding and converting some logs into cash. But if I was planning on selling that thing in the short term, I wouldn't cut a stinking tree on the place, because what a lot of landowners don't realize, if you are planning on selling, it's really easy to take a lot more off in market value than you take off in timber value.
Yeah.
You know, like my place, this logging project, it's probably not, may not even get to five figures in what it's going to pay me. But if I was going to sell that place now, it would cost me a lot more than that in resale value.
And even like the way the property shows too, because, mm-hmm. and this isn't a bad thing, but logging,
it can look bad.
Tears it up initially, right? Yep. So sometimes it takes, you know, they got to get back into the trees. So they've got two track lanes going to different spots.
And some people see that's a lot of firewood that I've got to cut.
Right, right.
Like, it's just not as aesthetically pleasing to our
as pretty woods
Western eyes, you know. Yeah. So,
and I'm assuming there's a lot of loggers. There's probably loggers out there that don't give a rat's ass, but I'm guessing there's a lot of loggers too that would go along with your plan. Like, hey, our plan is this, you know, I want you to, you know, any of your trash or whatever, let's put it here. I'd like to do this here. And so they can help you with your goal instead of just like, hey, I want all the walnuts off this place. And then they just go in there and freaking blow her up.
Two ways to go with that. One, you're exactly right. So Jason's guy is putting diversions in strategic areas, mm-hmm. and putting a mess where we want a mess and kind of cleaning out where we want it to be clean. And then also, you said some loggers will. It's good to know guys that know good and bad loggers,
right,
that you can check with and vet before you let some stranger with a saw and a lot of machines go and wreck the place.
Yeah.
So having multiple options of who you can call and help you vet people in the process.
It's an industry that has a bad reputation for, it's very well earned, but not all loggers are bad people. Just like, you know,
every profession has them. Right.
Right. Yeah.
But it can be like a shock to the system. If you left for 2 weeks, you come back and it's log and you're like, it looks different real quickly.
Yeah.
I remember the property I used to hunt, there, you know where I'm talking about. I don't think you've ever been on it, but it got logged the year I left.
Mm.
And we went back coyote hunting the next season. You're like, this place looks so different, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did you ask if you could go back and deer hunt it some more?
No, I'm not deer hunting anymore, but I would have liked to.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, it's just like, well, this looks different.
Yep.
And so if like you're not ready for that, and you know, hopefully the logger can kind of help educate you on what's going to happen, what's going to look like, that would be nice, because it can be a shock to the system for some person that just doesn't understand what that means. They just want, you know, $90,000 check or whatever the logger might pay them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh God, that did not go the way I was hoping it to or whatever. Yeah. So,
I mean, if you had to put like a figure on it, let's say you did buy a piece. Well, we'll just talk about your piece. How much does that depreciate the value if in 3 years something happened and you had to sell? You got it logged when you bought it. Now 3 years later, you got to sell it. How much kind of depreciation is that?
In 3 years, with what we're going to do with the place, it will add value. Okay. But it's in a very short term. Like if you go there now, it looks like a bomb went off. There's sawdust everywhere. The skidder is a massive machine that makes a mess. So I think, you know, if you're and it probably depends on the property too, because if you're talking bottomland tillable ag land, a farm that's like 98% tillable, taking some timber off may not even hurt the value because your buyer's buying it for the ag value anyways. Right. But on an ag property, if there's a chance it might sell in a short window, let's say probably 18 to 24 months or less, you're probably going to take more off. You're probably going to give up more market value than you're going to gain in logs.
Okay.
If there was a rule of thumb, that might be it. Is that pretty close?
The figure sounds right to me. The way I look at it is we're trying to make your property appeal to as many people in the buyer pool as possible. and there's one sliver of the buyer pool that appreciates what happens.
And the rest don't.
And the rest don't. And that that sliver that does is the hunters that are like, oh, that's going to be nice habitat, mm-hmm. or at least have a higher carrying capacity
right.
after logging. The rest of them see the work, the destruction. It's not as pretty.
Right.
All these things. So
just all the pretty perception. Trees are gone.
Yeah, you want to be positively projected to as many people as possible.
There's right. definitely a break-even point mm-hmm. on that decision, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, so if you're buying a property, yeah. flip it, logging might not be the best idea.
Right.
You know, if your goal is, I'm buying it, and within 24 months, I'm selling it, and I'm going to get logged, you might make money on the logging. You also might then lose that money on the sell.
Yeah, because
24 months
later.
Well,
I mean, you got to think about the potential buyer buying that land. They might
also
want it.
Also doesn't have that.
Yeah, they're like, well, I was going to make this my long-term goal. I was hoping to recoup a little bit.
Of, and now they can't.
You know, now I can't. So,
yep.
You know, you got to think about those things.
And buyers, especially a rec land buyer or a home buyer, they tend to be emotional creatures. And a lot of buyers they're not savvy enough to quantify what was the value of the logs taken, you know, in math terms or financial terms. You can sure as hell see a stump field and debris in the wrong place and mm-hmm. sawdust on the ground. And it just feels like something's missing. Like something, part of what I was going to buy is not here. Like if you pulled up to buy a truck and it's sitting on blocks because the wheels aren't there, you know, it's just missing.
Right.
That's a good point. Kind of good adjective. What an adjective. No. What is that called?
Analogy.
Analogy, yeah. I was close.
Yeah.
Actually, like you trying to say, what was that word last week?
Don't ask me.
You remember what I'm talking about?
Prerequisite.
Prerequisite. Yeah. Yeah.
Not that I was listening.
A prerequisite. I liked it. Yeah. I get tongue twisted sometimes, too. Okay, next one.
Yeah, well, I kind of accidentally segued myself, too, again, because I had a car example.
It's easy to do.
On here, I always heard the expression, you know, you don't sell a dirty car. You know, if you're going to sell your car or truck, you're going to clean it first, you know.
Sure.
Make sure you have good tires on it. And we see that a lot, especially in rec land sales. Somebody owns a property, and it starts to get away from them, and they're not taking care of it anymore. And, heck, I'll sell it, you know. And then they still want, you know, full retail market value for it, and it's not in that condition or hard to show or a mess, or, you know, they left abandoned a camper there 10 years ago and it's sitting right in the trail. So
I could use that as a blind.
Yeah, that's what I see when I see old anything on a hunting property.
I could hunt that.
But yeah, it
doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I remember actually that same property when it was originally purchased. The people that owned it before had a hauler, and they would dump all their big trash mm-hmm. down into that hauler. And when I mean hauler, it was just a ravine down to the creek.
Yeah.
You know, definitely an area like animals could have been.
Yeah.
And, you know, washers, dryers, tubs,
yep.
cars, four-wheeler, just tractor parts, you name it, it was all in there. It just looked kind of trashy,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it wasn't going anywhere because it was going to be hell to get it out.
Yeah, it had just trees growing in yep. it, and there soil, everything yep. was in there.
Yeah, they probably never thought they'd never sell the place, and now they got a dump ditch holding them
yep.
back.
Yep,
yep, yep.
Yeah.
That's, you know, always think about someday you're going to sell it, and throwing a bunch of stuff in a ditch is something you do when you're not thinking you're going to sell it.
Yeah, yeah, and like you said, it is an eyesore. So you get somebody who's a little prissy with it, let's say, and they're coming out there because they want this beautiful. And the first thing they see is that, I mean, that might turn them off right there. And,
yep.
we'll find something else.
Yeah, and if it isn't the person that's buying it, I don't know how to articulate this the best, but maybe the wife doesn't like it.
Right.
And she's got a heavy voice. You know you're going to hunt it. The hunting's going to be good. You know that the land's worth what they're asking.
But it's trashy.
But now she's off.
Yeah.
Now she's out. Off. She's
yeah.
out. So.
And for most men, wife got to sign off.
Yeah,
it's not.
That's
know,
definitely
it's not a one decision, a one person decision.
It's
thing.
A deciding factor.
Yep.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, we touched on that last time we were on too. You know, a lot of our buyers start out looking for a hunting property, and then it quickly morphs into a family recreational property. And I think if you can use it to the benefit of the whole family, you'll get more value out of it while you own it too.
Yeah,
so 100%. It's not just getting her to go along with it,
right.
but
You know that property we were just talking about? Yeah. That all the timber?
Yeah.
The house on the corner? First thing my son asked me, is there a pond? Nope.
No.
I don't want it. Yeah. you know what I'm saying? Like, different, you know, your kids might want, my son loves fishing, so he loves that we have a pond, and actually basically two ponds. Our neighbor lets us go, lets them go over there whenever they want. So, you know, he doesn't like the idea of a new property that doesn't have a pond or something to fish.
He'd be able to hunt out of his backyard.
But he wouldn't get to.
But yeah. He doesn't get to fish. Yep. And, I mean, my nephew's a big fisherman. I mean, I'm assuming he's probably fishing right now, if I had to guess.
It's very possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, loves to fish. And, I mean, that's a, Got to think about the whole family.
And, like, then your wife, my wife doesn't hunt. She doesn't fish, really. Like, what she cares about is different than what I care about, what my sons care about. You know, for her, that would have been a nice house because, you know, you got the woods in the backyard, right? That's what she's thinking about. I want to see deer. I want to see the woods. You know, I'd like our pond to be close to the house or something so it's not so far away or whatever.
Yep.
Now, when we had younger kids, that was the exact opposite.
Yeah. Right. One other thing. Yeah. Further away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is when we bought that house we live in now.
Yeah.
It was perfect because it was 400 yards away.
Yeah. When we were house looking, this was before we had kids, that we looked at a few where they were, you know, 50 yards off the front porch. She's like, I don't want it.
Seems awesome.
Like, I know I'm going to have kids one day, and I don't want that water right there.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, let's simmer down a little bit. You know, obviously it never worked out anyways, but, you know, got to think about those things.
Yep. Solid point.
Water is a huge factor that can change something for me in just a hunting property to, you know, really maybe all four seasons. Because if you have a, you know, a river you can enjoy or, you know, like my wife, she'll fish a little bit, but our pond, you know, we have four kayaks and a pedal boat there now too.
Nice.
So, you know, when I'm off, you know, trying to catch a bass, she's, you know, just hanging around enjoying the water. So water can be a huge difference in a recreational property.
Yeah, my parents, they built, they just bought little, I think it's 3 or 4 acres.
Oh yeah, that thing's cool.
But it had a pond on it. And that was one of the main reasons they bought it is because, and we are, my wife and kids probably go there at least once a week, if not more in the summertime.
It's a pool.
You know, it's a pool. Yeah. You know, he's got it cleaned up. You know, he's got it looking pretty. Got the dock and the trampoline out on it and all that stuff.
The little floating pad. What's that called? The little
lily pad.
Lily pad and all that stuff. So, I mean, they bought that property just because of the pond. Because he knew what he was going to get. And, hey, my grandkids are going to come over more if I got this. So.
Right. And doesn't he also hold your venom. I don't know if this is a bad thing. He colors it, right?
Yeah. That's a good thing.
Is that a bad thing? Is it a good thing?
It's a good thing.
I don't like it, but.
I knew it. He's a natural man.
Yeah.
Okay. What's he do, like drop tablets in it?
No, it's some type of liquid dye. It's supposed to, you know, get it where the sun doesn't touch the bottom and allow algae and things like that to grow.
But it looks almost like a pool, too.
Right,
so the kids, like, almost don't even
It fits for what
feel.
He bought it for.
Yeah.
No,
it's exactly what he got it for. And you can catch up.
You can catch as many bluegills as you want.
Yeah. Well, if it's not hurting the ecosystem, other than, I guess, it's not letting algae grow, so.
Hurting a little bit, yeah.
He can still fish it and enjoy it. That's the main part of the equation.
We've actually been talking about going and catching a bunch of bluegill out of that pond, take them to my pond, and then catching a bunch of bass out of my pond and taking them to that one.
Because he only has like 3 or 4, well, I don't know exactly, but you don't catch very many bass. So, not very many, but there's a ton of bluegill.
Our ponds are like the exact opposite.
Yeah.
We catch a bluegill every once in a while, and you can catch a bass all the time. Whereas his, you barely catch bass, but you catch bait fish, basically, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's those sorts of things, I guess. Speaking of water, are there questions that somebody should ask, you know, if they're looking at a property that's got water on it, especially like ponds? Has there been like a pond study? What are some things you guys seen? Like, will they talk about pond studies, fish populations? Can you ask questions to the, let's say, the seller, if you're the seller's agent, to educate the persons that might be looking at it more as to what's going on with it? Like, hey, it was stocked last year. Can you pay for studies? I know that they're like MDC used to do shock studies, I call them, where they would
zap the pond and then they could come up for a minute.
Yeah.
And then they...
They don't do that anymore, I don't think, at least for free. But you can still get those done, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And are they beneficial, I guess, if you wanted to pay for one? If it was like a, you know, property that had, like, let's say, a really good-sized lake on it, like a nice-size pond slash lake. Would it be beneficial for someone to do something like that, you think? I mean, I have no idea how expensive those studies are, but
I don't know. I don't know the cost of them either, yeah. But I think if the possibility of fishing for, you know, say trophy bass or whatever, and that's part of what you're going to sell, it helps to have documentation to prove that what you're saying is actually true, because otherwise it's a pond that you can't really see the fish in, and whoever else has to take your word for it.
Right.
If you can say, hey, look,
we actually,
this is what
we know
what
for
we
a
have.
Fact there yeah. is 17 10 pounders plus or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
That yeah. kind of ties into one of our other topics of trail cam picks. It's the same as having inventory of your big bucks.
Yeah.
And a that's fish, you don't
that's
have
that's huge
trail
for
cam
you guys
picks.
Like right. I know a lot of seller or agents do not do this because it takes effort.
Yeah.
Right. So your properties, you will put out trail cams and then you will not post those picks, I guess, but you'll put those on your YouTube for sure.
Yep.
And it just helps. Like if I were looking at a property like that one, let's say for instance, it wasn't in a floodplain, and then I knew I could go and look at all the bucks that have been there. Let's say over the, well, obviously you guys only have it during the time you're listing it, but then if your seller also has pictures they can give you, yep. and you can say, here's what was here in 22, 23, 24. There's the and you know here's the potential it could have after that. That would be big for someone who is serious about the hunting aspect,
mm-hmm.
whether it's turkey, deer, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They can be like, listen, okay, we had three deer that were at least 150 the last 3 years, and then last year they had 160-inch, you know, which means they probably got at least a few deer that are 5-6 years old minimum,
mm-hmm.
and they haven't even done anything that I would do here. And then I go do all this work, and it can make me eat even better. It just makes it that more appetizing. So how often do you see people that do that, put cameras out?
I think it's relatively common, but I think it's equally
uncommon.
Uncommon.
Yeah, because I really don't know anybody that does it
but
except you guys.
What you see is like you'll see a listing description, and it's like, oh, great hunting, great all this because it's in the country. And you know,
there's some trees on
there's
it.
There's acres, and, yeah. and it's like, where's the proof?
Right. Yeah, yeah, and that's another thing too that falls under the banner of, you know, think about being a seller someday, because a lot of us, when we're sharing trail cam pics with our buddies, a lot of guys will just take a picture of the picture with their phone, and it's just the deer, and you can't see the backdrop, yeah. you can't see the date stamp, and that could be from anywhere. That could be from Kansas or Oklahoma.
You could download some pictures pretty easy.
Yep. You know that leasing yep. website we've yeah. used before? Yeah. That's how a lot of those are. Is like, it's a picture from a cell phone of a photo, and I'm like, I don't even know.
Picture of a picture.
It's a yeah. picture of a picture that has no information on it other yep. than a picture of a deer. Mm-hmm. So then our cynical asses are like,
that didn't come off there.
Yeah. yeah. No and maybe it did, maybe it didn't, but sure. It didn't feel like proof to
yeah,
you.
You right. didn't feel like it was for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the things we wish more sellers did or more landowners did is keep the full frame high res. You know, that's another thing too. A lot of us are using cellular cameras now, and you get a low res JPEG thumbnail. That's not going to help us when people are, you know, when they want to blow that up, you know. So save the full frame, save the high res, yep. yeah, the high quality image. And you know, even just a half a dozen pictures a year will go a long way, especially over 10 years time. Or, you know, you can see those bucks get older, or especially if you kill them.
Yeah.
A picture of a dead buck, that could be from anywhere. But if I've got a trail camera and I can see the backdrop and I can see the date stamp, that becomes proof.
Yeah.
And that's worth real money. And vast majority of our sellers don't understand how important that is. And we do run cameras on our listings, but that's only valid for a few months out of the year.
Yeah,
and it starts when we get the listing. So I can't go get pictures from last year from a camera I put out today.
Yeah, you get the listing in March, and there's not going to be a lot of horns.
Nope.
Yep, until the 1st of July. Right. Yeah.
But, you know, it can at least show the deer numbers. I mean, mm-hmm. Look at all these pictures that yep. we've got of deer, and obviously some of those are bucks. We can guarantee you that. See that one's balls? You know,
he's walking away.
So yeah, I mean, that was one of the cool things. Sorry. I love getting dust in. It's fun.
Yeah,
you want to wrestle after this?
Oh, please do. Please do.
Nope. Nope. I'm now a volunteer wrestling coach, Andy, so I'm not going to get the fix as much.
You're no longer a volunteer?
I'm only a volunteer.
Oh, you're so only a volunteer.
It's not going to be a multiple time a week thing.
Yeah, know, got you. Okay, so that's a good one. What's another one on your list? I like how they came prepared.
Yeah, I know.
I knew they would. But I was like, I didn't really – I was pretty vague last week about what we might talk about. I was like, whatever you guys think, I don't know, you know. So I'm glad they kind of were ready.
Yeah, well, I hate to bounce back too far, but we talked on logging real quick. And, yeah, you know, the way I found – you brought up a thread that we didn't really pick apart, and that's picking the right logger. And, like, the reason I chose the logger I did, kind of the same way I ended up with Dustin, you know, just watched his work. And he's a hunter himself, and he bought some properties, logged them, and then hunted them for a while and then resold them. And so, not to bounce back too far, but having somebody that's from that mindset is really important.
It's important
with logging.
You want to plug his name? But,
we'll see how he does. Okay. Next time you have us on, he's on my property today. Yeah. I think he's doing a great job. He sent
a
load of pallet to the mill, and if I get his permission, I'll drop his name.
Nice.
I think he'll probably enjoy it.
Sweet.
How many are you getting removed? Like, you have any idea? Because they go usually, don't they walk in and say your estimate? You know how many trees they're actually harvesting?
Well, the previous owner had an estimate to cut the whole thing really hard, mm-hmm. and thank God he didn't, because he probably would have smoked that place. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing right now is a really small project. There's like a 2 or 3 acre landing that actually Dustin picked out on the topography and said, hey, you could probably develop this. Just so happened it had a bunch of mature white oak, so he's doing about 2 or 3 acres there, about a half acre where the house is going to go, and then another half acre that is chosen because of topography to be a bedding area, and I just want a freaking mess there.
Yeah.
So instead of me going down and killing trees for fun, he's going
to go do it.
Take out the trunk and leave the top on the ground where we need it. So all in all, out of 80 acres, we're logging about 4 acres.
Okay.
Very carefully chosen. Yeah, not a lot of it. Yep.
And do you think that might change down the road? Or is for right now, this is the plan, and there you go.
Well, what's neat about a timber property, I mean, a lot of us think about, you know, if a hunting farm has CRP or ag, well, hey, that's ongoing income. But a timber property, if you do a timber harvest every few years, you can leave trees that are going to come back, and, you know, another 10 or 15 years, you'll have trees that are mature again, and then kind of move around the farm.
That's what I figured, like, you might move
Yep.
different spots down the road.
Yep. So a few years from now, I don't know if we'll log again next year. And summertime's not the ideal time, but it fit the plan. You know, we started with a plan, which if that's the only thing anybody takes from today, that's probably the key. Choose the right property and start with a plan. But
another thing, kind of segueing from that into more of our topics, is when you have a logger come in, you're going to have trails. So your hunting plan, your management plan, and all these things start to develop further.
Based off of those, too.
Based off your new super well-defined trails that, you know, not too long ago I went through and made side-by-side trails essentially there. And now he's got these brand-new openings of highway travel in the woods. That sunlight that's coming down, it's just such a multifaceted bonus that has a pretty bad rep, but
it would suck. Like, if you were like, I want to be able to, you know, access my hunting spots right here, and then you get some dumbass logger who doesn't know what he or she's doing, and they put the freaking trail down at the bottom where you can't access.
Yep.
Or their two-track trail, or whatever, and you're like,
yep.
So having that conversation with them prior to the job, and like, listen, I want this area done, and I want you to go through here if you can, you know. And if they're okay with it, boom, plan done. And having the plan is more important than, you know, anything. Because if you just are like, listen, I want you to take all the walnuts off, have fun.
Yep.
They're going to do it. They're going to do it how they want to do it, you know.
With that, too, say he had to turn around for whatever reason and sell the place next year. He's got a network of side-by-side trails already, plus a network of logging trails, and you can take all these different routes. That 80 acres feels like double that. Just because you can see so much of the farm.
It makes
farm,
it easier, like, to freaking show.
And show, exactly.
Bring a freaking side-by-side and
yep,
shoot through there.
Yep, that's one of the most important things.
I talked earlier about landowners who maybe the property's gotten away from them. Their access trails, you know, trees fall down and the shrubs grow in, and it's always going to be, you know, multi-floor rows and nasty stuff, that hedge and locust that closes in your trails. And that can be a gigantic hindrance to showing a property. And even hunting properties, I have a lot of hunters. I told Dustin a story one time. I showed this guy. He was looking for about 50 acres with a house on it. So we started our tour at the house. Loved it. Home run. We'd been looking for a while. Really great house. He and the wife were happy. So, and it was time to go see the timber, and it was summer. And so we walked to where the trail should have been, and it was closed, and he stopped and just looked in there. He's like, well, I can't really buy the property if I can't see anything. I was like, well, we got boots on, man. Let's go. Let's go walk it. And he's like, well, there's no access. How am I going to get in there? And I said, well, you know, if you buy it, it's pretty easy. You know, just get a forestry mulcher and a skid steer out here, and you know, we can have a trail out here in an afternoon. That's what Dustin did at my place.
I know this guy.
I know a guy. And he's like, well, but how can I buy it if I can't see it? And this guy's a hunter, even a bow hunter, and would not step one foot in the timber. So you're losing a big part of the buyer pool. Mm-hmm. I have buyers right now who won't get out of the side-by-side to see a property.
Really?
It's where I can take them.
You're better at customer service. I'd be like, quit being a bitch and come on.
You're like, quit being a sissy.
That's one of the best audio.
Stop being a bitch and come on.
He says something to me. I pick up on a lot of stuff that he says because I'm pretty new at this, but you're in the side-by-side. You don't want to be looking to avoid sticks and things hanging over and scraping across your side-by-side when you want to be looking at what you're
selling or buying
if you're the buyer.
Yeah.
So
it'd probably be worth somebody selling their land to put in some trails.
Absolutely. Yeah. And make them
and
so
maintain them.
Yeah. Maintain them and make them so wide. You know, if brush is hitting the side-by-side, you're watching the brush. You're not watching the property around you. It's so important. I shouldn't say where the listing is because it might be too specific. But I had a listing in America, Northern Missouri.
Yeah.
A premier area for deer hunting, and it was a raw timber tract. And we listed it right at the end of turkey season, so going into May. And I told the guy, like, hey, if you'll put trails in, I'll pay you back out of commission at closing. I'll pay you for the trails because I can't sell it. Like, people aren't going to walk this timber in the summer. They're not going to walk it. He's like, well, it's a hunting property. I'm like, I'm telling you, man.
Put trails in.
Yeah, put trails in. People won't walk it. And that listing expired. And I had plenty of guys come meet me there. And they might walk a few feet in or might walk one ridge. But, you know, the mosquitoes and spider webs. And you know what the timber's like right now.
Yeah.
And they just wouldn't do it. On to the next one. And, you know, a lot of buyers that went on to buy something else didn't buy that property because I couldn't drive them around in the side-by-side.
That's crazy to me.
It is.
Me too. Because – you know, we've looked at leases and stuff like that.
And we walked the whole damn
thing. We were like, how much time you got? Because I want to spend some time out here.
I mean, so it would be nicer to just drive side around in those cases.
No, I mean, and I get how some people would want to be that way, but to be honest, it's shocking that so many people are like that.
The vast majority.
Yeah.
When you say,
if I'm going to drop hundreds of thousands of potential dollars, whatever size the property is, like, I'm probably going to walk every square inch of the – you remember that one in Dover, that really nasty, deep one?
Right off where the – dropped off the road.
Yeah, and then we would only been able to enter from the north. You remember talking about coming down?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, that's going to suck walking, but we're going
to
do it.
Yeah. Like, I was like, do you know who you're talking to?
And
I am in my element.
Yeah, but it was like one of those, like, we were going to – it was summer last year, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, it was gonna suck.
It might have been 2 years ago now.
It was before the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
and even hardcore hunters, if they're looking to buy a property, what if they show up with their wife and kid?
Yeah, exactly.
She's not walking.
They're not going.
No. You're not stereotyped, but
yeah.
But Brent, have fun for the whole family.
Make it easy enough where everybody can check out everything.
Yeah.
You want that. If you're going to sell something, you want the buyer pool to be as big as possible. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to not have somebody represented in the buyer pool because of something context that wouldn't have cost much at all.
Has there been scenarios where you've had a listing for a certain amount of time and you're like, hey, you need to do this before you know, we can get this thing sold. You know, it's just not, it's not moving. You know, people aren't interested. Does that come up? And, you know, kind of, is that some of the issues as trails, and is there anything else? Does that question make sense?
Dustin says yes.
One that's on the list. We do have those. We always want to be open with our clients and tell them everything. You know, help them understand the other side. Whether it's a buyer, you got to understand what a seller's thinking. If you're a seller, you got to understand what a buyer's thinking. And one of those things, I would say, more and more over time, this becomes more and more important because the culture's shifting and younger people are becoming buyers. But one of the easiest ways to leave money on the table as a seller is to ask for too much money. Just overprice it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very age of the internet and AI now. The buyer pool has a pretty good idea what stuff's worth. And if you set, and you know, a lot of in real estate, it's okay to expect some negotiation, but if you're just 20 or 30 or 50% over market, a lot of buyers aren't going to show up. And the ones that do, know that you don't have much activity because you're overpriced, and they're the lowest. So the best way to get a lowball offer is to ask too much. And like, the more you ask, the less people are going to offer. And there is a very real cost to overpricing a property. And of all the things we talked about today, that might be the number one way to leave money on the table, is to ask too much.
And that's pretty common these days, I'm assuming.
Yeah. I got a perfect example. So a buddy of mine, it's actually one of my daughter's coaches. He, some developer bought the land next to him. So they live basically in the woods, and they've got wildlife all over the place. A developer bought the property next to him, and I'm not getting this story perfect, so if he listens to this, sorry. But I'm getting it close. The developer bought, I think it was 15 acres, and he split it in two, and he was going to build a house on one of them, and then he found out the other 8 acres he could not build on. So he's like, well, I'll just sell it. He's asking $33,000 an acre on a property that you can't build on. That thing sat there forever, you know? And it's just like one of them deals. I'm like, that's never going to sell. Now, he would probably buy it, but the guy's asking too much too. Like, that way nothing happens to his timber next to him, you know? But it's one of those things that, like, that's so asinine that I'm guaranteeing you people are just looking at it and keep them going. Because why would I even... What am I going to offer you, 30 an acre?
Buyers,
you know,
but what I've learned recently is they have a, what am I trying to say? They have an empathy type feeling towards a low ball offer, even if they know the market value of that piece. They're like, well, I don't want to offend them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we'll just, you know,
just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not the one. It's priced too high.
So. Yeah.
You and I even went through that on this last one. I was like, I don't even know if I should would it be rude to offer, I think it was $225 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, would that be rude? And you're kind of thinking like, I mean, okay. Now I would guess that you guys do have listings where, you know, an offer comes in that's so asinine that it pisses the buyer or the seller off enough that they're like, stop messing with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the answer is no unless you ask, right?
You don't know, and we don't know what a seller's going to accept until we get an offer in front of them too. And I had a seller today. We were talking about price and said, well, why don't people just make me an offer? And you know, especially I started really noticing this in 2020 when prices started to change with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of it's generational too. You know, I think people younger than me see a lower offer as confrontational or rude, and it doesn't fit this more polite culture very well. And another thing too that's really important is most all property searches right now are on the internet,
right?
And you're searching by a bracket, and if you're priced wrong, you're not in the bracket for the people who can afford your property, because they're searching in the bracket where it belongs, and you're positioning your property against other properties that are in that price bracket, and you don't belong there, so it makes your property look even worse.
Yeah.
And then that's where, you know, we help a lot of investor clients too, and one of the things an investor is going to look for is a property that's either under marketed,
right? Like all they have is a picture of the plat page or something like that, and or overpriced. If it's overpriced, you know, hey, let's check back on that one in 3 months because they'll be sitting there and with nobody looking, and then we'll come in and make them
an offer.
Yeah, make them an offer, yeah. And it's going to be under market. So if you want to sell your property for less than it's worth, ask more than it's worth. That's almost a foolproof strategy.
Isn't that a bass-ackwards thing to think of? Like,
it's counterintuitive.
Yeah, if you want to sell your property for less than it's worth, ask more than it's worth. It's pretty good.
It's pretty effective. It's not 100%, but that's if you want to get less than what it's worth, ask too much.
Yeah.
It'll work most of the time.
Every once in a while, you might get that idiot that overpays, but it's 2025. Most people are going to have an idea of what something's worth, what they should be paying, you know, unless they just really want it and they don't, you know, they have money to throw around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people aren't going to do that.
Right.
You know, if I had $2 billion, I'd pay more than something's worth if I wanted it.
Yeah, but probably only don't. If you're competing with people to do so.
Probably, yeah. I wouldn't just show up and be like, how much are you asking? $200,000? I'll give you $400,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
A funny thing, too, is a lot of our most qualified buyers are the – I mean, you don't get wealthy by being stupid.
That's right. 100%. Yeah.
So, you know, if your seller strategy is to find the dumb rich guy, it's a – you know, a low percentage strategy.
What's Dave Ramsey say? Why would you ask the advice of broke people?
Yeah.
Maybe you should ask the advice of somebody who's loaded rich. Mm-hmm. They obviously have an idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
What else?
That's the bulk of the specifics we had.
I like it.
You feel like we missed anything?
Not really. I feel like we kind of weaved in and out of all of them. So.
How is the market right now as far as selling property? Is it steady, declining, speeding up? How are we looking out there?
You want me to take that one?
Yeah, go ahead.
You look like you were about to say something. Supply and demand. Sales are great right now. The top line number, you know, for Missouri as a state and for us as a team, looks fantastic. But it's a mixed bag underneath that. So some segments of the market that are really active right now, big cash buyers. You know, we've sold some big, nice, pricey farms. Country homes are doing really well. Rural building sites are doing really well. High-quality ag is doing really well. On the specifically the hunting land side, it feels like inventory starting to build up. Summer can be a challenging time to sell hunting land anyway because it's miserable out there.
And it's off people's minds a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it was miserable the beginning of this week.
But prices have been stable for probably 18 months, maybe 2 years. At least, let's say, fairly stable across the board. But if inventory keeps building, that could change.
Yeah,
that could change. The Fed deciding not to lower interest rates today. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, most people who are paying attention probably saw that coming, but doesn't make it good news.
Right.
But in general, the rule of thumb is land, they're not making any more of it, and it's not going to get cheaper. So what do they say the best time to buy land is?
50 years ago today.
I used that on True. Him before you got here.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I could have bought when I was like 20 years old, I would have saved every penny I had and bought everything I possibly could have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you imagine if we would have done that?
Yeah. We talked about it earlier.
Yeah. But
beer is good, though. So
yeah, it was. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things like the time, if you're thinking about it, kind of like me, I mean, the time is kind of now. Mm-hmm. Right. But
it has to make sense, though.
It does have to make sense. And you know, you don't want to rush into anything stupid, but it's not going to get cheaper, you know. So if you find the right one, first thing I would do is call people who are educated and figure out what your possibilities are, what the positives and negatives are to it. I mean, you can have a 10-minute phone call with one of these two guys and learn a lot about potential property. And that's a property that they might not even have listed. It could be a property, the one that I called you on. It was not yours. It was actually a regular real estate agent. I don't mean to call you not regular.
We're not
residential.
A residential real estate agent, right? Yeah. And, you know, that was one that Dustin was able to go get some information for me.
Is this still for sale?
I have no idea.
And if we move forward and you had me as a buyer's agent, I could represent your full needs. Whereas if you do go to a listing agent, which is a completely fine option.
Fine to do, yeah.
If they do it right and they follow the rules, they cannot vouch for your interests.
Right, because they've already had
the seller.
Customer or a client, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And so that could potentially hurt you. I mean, you know, there are a lot of really good agents out there, both in the residential side, commercial side, and then land side, that wouldn't be liars or, you know, thieves about it or crooks. But, I mean, why would you take that chance? I'm going to call someone who I know is representing me, who I, you know, trust. And if you've got other people out there that like that, call them in those situations. And then when it's time to sell, if you're thinking about selling, it wouldn't be a horrible idea, in my opinion, to have a conversation with whoever you're going to have listed a while before you do. Mm-hmm. Like, what would you do in the next
early.
18 months? Cut some trails. Hey, like you were saying, that one property that you let expire, if you guys would have talked maybe a year before he thought about selling it, you could have been like, hey, over the next year, I want you getting some trails in here, and we'll list it next time.
Yep, save some whatever. Trail cam pics. I've run trail cams for sellers years in advance, just so that when they are ready, we have that inventory ready to go.
Nice. And that's smart.
Smart.
And tell them, pay attention to what everything else is selling for. Like, you know, going back to you don't want to price yourself out of everything.
Yeah. Your 80 acres was a lot more than the rest for some reason. It's going to sit there for a while, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I like it. I like it a lot. So this is the things that we wish landowners knew.
Yeah.
We might title it that. We wish landowners knew.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
That sounds pretty good.
That works.
Yeah, I like it. What else we got, fellas? Anything? We miss anything? Any other good things going on? What do we got on the docket right now? I know at one time you had a lot of smaller tracks on one of the messages you sent us a couple weeks ago. What do you guys got for, we'll call it inventory. I don't know what to call it. Right now, what's
I'm a little lower on the inventory than Jason is.
You've been selling so much, you son of a
bitch. Yeah, just out.
Just too good.
Been out of stuff.
Been working some buyers, though, and that's been exciting, and it's fun to kind of learn people. When you first go with a buyer, you don't know exactly what, and they don't know exactly what they're looking for, and then you can hone that in. And sometimes they do. I don't want to take anything away from anybody, but you kind of learn alongside of them through the process, getting, you know, finding them what they're looking for, and then, you know, get a deal done. And that's what's good for me on the real estate side right now, working some buyers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for me on the inventory side, I have a lot of pretty new hunting listings. I think the smallest one I have right now is 22 acres and has a big deer history and income.
Where?
So, Pattonsburg.
How far away is that?
I'm not sure where that is.
Do you know where Cameron is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe 10, 15 miles north of Cameron. Right by my 80.
Gosh, it's about an hour and a half.
Hour 45.
Yeah. So just outside of the range.
Yeah.
It's close.
We'd like to be within an hour.
Yeah, the problem is anything within an hour is so freaking expensive.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, it's crazy down here.
Yeah, well, I'm in that area where I'm far enough out of the range of Kansas City that it's all very affordable, and I have an abundance of hunting listings right now. Some really new ones. I've got a 50 that's right near the Iowa line that's coming. Well, it'll come out the same day this drops.
Nice,
awesome deer history. That was the trail camera pictures we were sorting through earlier. So I'm hunting properties in a lot of different sizes right now, and some of them include really good income.
Yeah.
So, and if we find you something right now, and be closed in time to hunt this fall.
There I'm you telling go. You right now, I've never wanted to punch somebody I like in the face so bad right now. But that freaking fly is about to drive me crazy. It is just buzzing right around Jason's face this entire time. And I'm like, I'm literally just about to throw this pin right at his face.
I wouldn't blame you if you did. I got protective
not because
eyewear.
Of you. There you go. Because of that stupid-ass fly. That's awesome. Well, Jason Patterson, Dustin Williams, give everybody a quick rundown on how they can get a hold of you guys. And, you know, website, YouTube channel. I know we talked about it already, but this is the bookend. Give them your pitch on how to get a hold of you fellas.
Yeah, check out the Jason Patterson Land Team on Facebook. And then whitetailproperties.com, search Northwest Missouri or Missouri, search by name on the Whitetail website, YouTube channel, Is it the same title?
Yeah, Jason Patterson Land Team.
Yep.
Dash Whitetail Properties.
Whitetail Properties. Yep. That's in there. We're very active on social media, especially this time of year. Sometimes struggle to think of what would be good content, but it's trail camera season, and I don't know. I got 20 cellular and what?
We're down one right now.
Yeah, we got one.
Working on the replacement with the company. So.
So we're starting to do video montages from our listings of, you know, right. Good buck show up. That's fun content.
Oh, yeah.
Even on a property you're not going to buy, who doesn't like to see a little horn porn?
That's right.
Horn porn. I like that one. Is this an only horns? Sorry.
Yep. And don't be afraid to use my cell phone, 816-824-6282. And Dustin's, I have it saved, but I don't know off the top of my head.
Funniest thing is, I just thought of that, too. We were emailing back and forth about this episode, and the whole time, like, why aren't we just doing a group text? And then I finally started it for the – I'm just like, it was kind of funny to me. I kept replying, when do you want to do it next week? And I'm like, why am I emailing him? I should just text him.
Yep.
But, yeah, he's very responsive, by the way, so is Dustin. You know, and if you call and leave a message, they'll call back really quickly. Mm-hmm. So not just because of me or Micah, but because – you know, they're trying to.
They're good people.
Do stuff. They're good at what they do.
Yeah.
More importantly, so.
Dustin, your number real quick.
816-752-7390.
Perfect.
I've almost got theirs memorized. You know, we were talking about not knowing phone numbers anymore.
Yeah, I know like three or four.
I'm getting better just because of this.
Well, I get it.
But, all right, well, Jason Patterson, Dustin Williams, Whitetail Properties, thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.